Let's go to God in a word of prayer. Father, good morning again. Thank you so much for giving us this morning. Thank you for allowing us to be together to speak about your word and to learn more about you. Father, teach us, help us to understand the lessons you want to give us today. Father, be with those that are traveling here. I know the weather is a little wet, and I pray, Father, that they get here safely and then they get here soon so they don't miss any of this. Father, thank you so much for your word that convicts us and challenges us to be better. Father, thank you for your word that lifts us up and causes us to be different. Be with me as I teach this class. We love you, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. How you guys doing this morning?
Good.
Very good. You know, for the last couple of weeks, we've been having some great teachings on family dynamics and the family. This morning, I want to talk to us about protecting our relationship with our kids. This is a very important topic. As being a youth minister, I get together with kids very often, and I get together with parents very often. And one of the things that I see as a common place and a common theme is, you know, especially when they get into the teenage years, the rift between parents and kids. I don't know if that's just, you know, the few I'm talking to, but I don't think so. I don't know how it was with you growing up, but when I was growing up, I didn't have a great relationship with my parents growing up. My relationship with my dad was almost non-existent. I resented him. I didn't like him very much. He worked many hours. And now as a man and as a father, I recognize why. But at the time, I didn't. And I grew up really not liking him very much. And sometimes we can take our relationship with our own parents and bring them into our relationship with our kids right now. And hopefully through the scriptures, we can see that we can't do that. You know, we are under attack. The family dynamic is under attack. Look over in 1 Peter 5. First Peter 5, verse 8. It says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." You know, Satan is out to destroy our families. I mean, you just look at TV for like 5 seconds. Tell me one example on TV that shows a positive example of what families look like. I can't even think of one. When I was growing up, you know, there were the Huxtables. There were, you know, maybe one or two. Now, what's the example? Modern Family? Now, I've never watched that show. I've seen the commercial, and I choose not to. Because that's not what a family is supposed to look like. And we can have blended families. God is fine with that. God appreciates when people step in and take care of his children. What I'm talking about is the sin in a lot of these shows that we watch as entertainment, but that's a different lesson. Satan is out to destroy our families. In preparation for this class, I looked online for statistics. And I really couldn't find a lot of statistics on, you know, kids and parents as far as relationship, but I did about children divorcing their parents. Have you ever heard about that? You know, that's more of a modern occurrence, because when I was growing up, and I'm only 40 years old, I ain't that old yet, but when I was growing up, I didn't know anyone that ever divorced their parents. Their parents would beat them before they divorced them, you know what I'm saying? And if I ever brought up the D word with my parents, I wouldn't be here today. But I started saying, you know, what is the statistics now about children divorcing their parents? And I Googled, I love Google, I Googled it, and my first search came up with the WikiHow. You ever heard of WikiHow? Tells you how to do it. 5 steps to divorcing your parents. That was the first article that came up. My research was complete. What kind of generation do we live in where the first article tells you how to divorce your parents? That's very scary. Look over in Mark 3. We must protect our relationship with our kids. Mark 3, verse 25. It says, if a house is divided against itself, the house cannot stand. Look over in Luke 11, 17. Luke 11, 17 says, Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall. You know, when you think about this, these scriptures, Jesus here is talking about a kingdom being divided will be ruined. You know, when we're in our homes, that's our kingdom, amen? The husband, the father is supposed to be the king of the castle, and his wife, the beautiful queen, and the children are the subjects. And we need to have a ruling kingdom, amen? We need to have a godly kingdom. But there are things that will ruin that kingdom. What are some of those areas that can ruin the kingdom? I believe the main area that can ruin the kingdom is anger. Look over in Ephesians 4, 26. All right, starting in verse 26. It says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Okay, very simple. It says, in your anger, do not sin. All right, so we know here that anger is not sin. But a lot of times what comes after the anger, now there's a sin. It's the lack of patience. It's the lack of humility. It's the lack of long suffering with your children. I don't know if I'm the only one here that might suffer with that. And I say that with no pun intended. I've damaged my relationship with my kids at times. You know, when we were talking about doing these classes, I asked to do this one. Because I have a deep conviction about this, but doesn't mean that I've gotten it on straight. You know, I feel like sometimes we need to teach not only from an area of strength, but an area of improvement. And this is an area that, man, this Bible study for the last week and a half that I've been reading this over and really looking over this, and way before that, because it was a character trait for me, has encouraged me, and I hope it does the same for you. It says, in your anger, do not sin. You know, you can control what comes out of your mouth when you're angry. It just takes patience. It just takes perseverance. It takes you to literally shut your mouth and perhaps pray. Asking God for patience. Asking God to transform your heart to make you be different in that moment. Amen? Then he says, do not let the sun go down while you are angry. What does that mean? Does that mean to get resolved right before you go to bed? No. It means that we need to be quick to be resolved. That it needs to be a priority. Why? Because you value your relationship with your children. I don't think there's a parent in here that wants to be at war with our children. But I do believe that there are relationships in this room that need to be improved. And our children have a big part to play in that, but we are the adults for a reason, amen? We are their parents who are guiding them. You know, one of the revelations I came through from doing this class was, man, if I don't get this all right, my son is going to imitate this in me. And then he's going to be quick with his kids and in a wrong way. You know, growing up, my dad, like I said before, wasn't around a lot. So I think that, I mean, this is just a recent discovery for me. I think I overcompensate when it comes to correcting my kids. Because I'm so afraid of them going that way, the way that I went, because I didn't have a father's involvement, that I jump on them the minute they do something crazy. But that doesn't bless them. And it doesn't help our relationship. And there will be a point one day where they will be 18 and want to leave the house as quick as they can. You know, like I said, dealing with the teens, there have been teens that I've gotten together with that are like, man, I can't wait till I'm 18 so I can get up out of my house. And then there's some teens that are like, I love my house. I love my relationship with my parents. Which one do you want to be your situation? I think I know the answer to that, and that's why we're talking about this today. It says in verse 27, and do not give the devil a foothold. What does that mean? That means when you are short with your children, that means when you correct them in anger, that you are allowing the devil to step into your home. You are allowing him to get into your children's heart to form bitter roots. I don't think anyone here wants that. But unfortunately, if we continue to go on that path, that's what we're going to do. You know, there are a lot of things that we don't want to do, but unfortunately, if we don't change, that's exactly what we will be doing. All right, give me a second. Don't you love electronics? Look over in Proverbs 4, please. Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4:23, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Where does anger come from? It comes from the heart. And what's the heart of an angry person? Most of the time, it's, for me, it's how dare you speak to me that way. Do you understand my authority in your life? Now, I don't say all that, but that's in my heart. And it says right here, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So when you have a heart like that, instead of the heart of compassion, okay, why is my daughter or son responding that way? You know, that's a mature thought. And I'm working on it. But parents, I'm telling you, you need to work on that. Because if you just react the way that you want to react, you will ruin your relationship with your children. They will not only can't wait to get out the house when they're 18, they're going to hate being home now. None of us have children to make them feel that way. And a lot of us, we are imitating the homes that we came from. But we must break the cycle. Thank God we've been saved from that. Thank God that He's called us to a different standard. You know, we would have an excuse if we didn't know Jesus. But now that we have the Holy Spirit living within us, we know that there's a different way. There are many examples of great parents up in here. We need to be spending time with them. We need to be cooking them dinner. We need to be buying them coffee. We need to be taking them out and picking their brains and asking them, why does your kid love your home? Why does my kid hate when we have to have a conversation? You know, I believe that electronics are killing our families. The 3DSs, the iPad touches, and all the other stuff, it's killing us. Why? Because the minute conflict comes, somebody opens their phone or opens something and just looks into it. Guys, we need to put the electronics away and deal with the hearts that are being inflicted. It says, above all else. That is a stern warning, isn't it? He says, above all else, this is the area that you need to get right. What is that? Your hearts. Why? You can read all the self-help books you want. You could talk to Ann Landers. I mean, you could talk to Dr. Phil. And they can give you the hows, but if you don't have the heart to do it, why are you going to do it? What is the heart behind wanting to change? What is the heart behind protecting our children? The heart is we want our generations to know Jesus. We want this generation to know Jesus. And if we continue not necessarily all continue, because some of us are doing it great. I say for me, if I don't repent, there's a good chance my children will rebel against God because they will feel distant from me, who is supposed to be the representative of God in their life. See, when our kids respect us, ultimately, hopefully, they're going to respect God. Because God calls himself what? Father. And he does so for a reason. He is our protector, our provider. You know, that doesn't mean just the, steak and eggs on the table. It doesn't mean food and shelter. It means we need to protect them in the heart. You know, our children look to us pretty much for everything. They look to us as fathers and mothers for their identities. They look to us for their security. How is that going? We need to protect the hearts of our children. Let's look over in John 10. Let's start in verse 7. It says, therefore, Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus here is teaching about himself and in the stark contrast, Satan, who is out to destroy our families. Do you ever at home feel like there's just this ominous presence? There's this very heavy feeling in the house. You know what? That's caused by a distance in our relationship with our kids. And I don't know about you or your household, but in my household, that distance can cause distance between me and my wife. Because my wife is a lot more in tune with how they're doing emotionally. And the minute that if my kids do something and I quickly, harshly correct them, mama kind of doesn't like that, if you know what I'm talking about. I'm just saying. You know, the claws come out and she's like, okay, what are you doing to my kids? And I praise God for that. I do, because if it was just me, we'd be in trouble. That they'd be obedient, they'd be soldiers, but their hearts would be all messed up. And who would have caused that? Me. Now, I love my children to death. I really do. And I do what I do because I want them to grow up and be great people one day. But see, if we have the right heart to do it, but do it the wrong way, we're messing ourselves up. And we're going to mess them up. We have the opportunity, thank God, when we have spouses that help us. Man, we need to be humble when they help us, amen? Amen. You know, so many times, especially husbands, we focus on how they said it. I'm talking about our wives now. Man, they didn't lift me up. They didn't encourage me when they said it. You know what? Maybe they didn't feel encouraged either. You know, my wife said something the other day that was very profound. She said, hurt people will say hurtful things. Because they're hurt. They'll just come back at you and say, what? Bam. Haven't you ever done that? Don't shake your head. No, you know you have. If you have breath, you definitely have. Now, as disciples, we are training ourselves to be more like Christ. Amen? Amen. But then there are times when you just, you know, that sore toe gets stepped on and you're ready to fight. Well, thank God when we do stuff against our children, at least for me, my wife kind of helps me out very quickly about it. And, you know, with all these classes that we did, you know, the family environment and just all the classes we've been doing, man, they've been challenging us as a family. You know, every Sunday we go home and we do the classes that we learn here as our family devotional with the kids. We want to teach them what it means to have a spiritual household, not just in what we do at home, but from the scriptures. I encourage you guys to have family devotionals based on these lessons. You know, you might have to doctor them up a little bit for, you know, smaller kids or bigger kids, whatever. But what they're looking for is the example in the house. You know, my house is totally different when I'm protecting my relationship with my kids. When I'm patient with them, my wife is happy. She's bubbly. Amen. When I'm not, she's not. Amen. Oh, she's not feeling it. And I cause her to struggle. The Bible says, Jesus says, do not cause my little ones to struggle. Do not cause my little ones to sin. It is better for you to put a millstone around your neck. See, I don't want to be in that position. None of us, I didn't get married to cause anybody to struggle. I didn't have kids to cause them to struggle. I did it because I want to provide something for them. And God gives us through his scriptures how to do that. Verse 10 says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, I really want parents for you to really sit back and think about and assess your relationship with your children. Now, I'm not talking about the one-off time or, you know, whatever. I'm talking about the pattern of your relationship. You know, as they get older, the relationship needs to change, amen? Amen. You can't talk to a 15-year-old the way you talk to a 4-year-old. But sometimes we as parents, we don't mature. We don't change our parenting style. And we're hurting our children. We need to protect our relationship with our kids. Look over in 1 Corinthians 13, please. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible because it's one of the most challenging scriptures in the Bible. Starting in verse 1, it says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains and do not have love, I have nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Let's stop right there. You know, here Paul's talking about being able to do extraordinary things, right? To be able to speak in the tongues of men and of angels. I speak English and I'm lucky I do that. I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge. Anybody could do that? Put your hand down. Yes, there's not many of us that could do that. I don't think anyone could do that. Probably Solomon, right? It says, if I have a faith that can move mountains. What does he say? But if I do not have love, I have nothing. So what is the thing that he wants us to focus on? Yeah. But it's not love in the way the world teaches love. The world has never taught us anything right. They sure are not going to get love right because God is love. If the world does not know God, how are they going to know how to love? It makes sense now, but when you're watching TV, you know, the other day my wife was watching some Christmas movie or whatever, and it was, I forgot what it was, but I just watched it for 5 seconds and walked away because I was like, okay, this is a little too mushy for me. But it was about Christmas, and I love Christmas. But then it was about this couple trying to get together, and it wasn't, you know, sexually explicit, nothing like that. But it was all, like, worldly, romantic, and, you know, jealousy. And I'm like, oh, please, I ain't got time for this. I'd rather watch, you know, Superman or, you know, something fake. But that's just as fake because that's not how love is established. Love is through long-suffering. When you have kids, parents, you know that you need to long-suffer when you love your kids. Because they're going to give you opportunities, sometimes on a daily basis, to long-suffer. And guess what? You do the same for them. You know, we can sit here, how about our kids? But we frustrate our children sometimes. Just the other day, my son was very frustrated. And I asked him, what's going on, man? What's wrong? Why are you upset? And he blamed my daughter. It's her. I'm mad at her. And I'm, okay, that's the stage they're in right now. I get that. And, you know, he walked away for a second. My wife said, no, he's not mad at her. He's mad at you. When you corrected him before, you did it harshly. So he's masking his feelings and pushing them, transferring them on her. But he's really mad at you. Can't get you. Can't do nothing to you. So he's taking out on her. And I just wanted to crawl into a corner. You know what I'm saying? I just wanted to say, okay, you know, can I get a bus ticket? You know what I'm saying? I can't handle this. This being a dad thing is challenging. But I'm a father, and I'm a godly man, so I can't get that bus ticket. There are plenty of men that have done that, and our world is where it's at, mainly because of that, because of absentee fathers. And I am many things, but I'm not an absentee father. So I called my son back and, you know, put on the nice, the nice voice. Son, what's going on, man? You okay? What's going on? She, her. I'm like, are you sure you're not mad at me? No. Well, about 10 minutes of that, the truth broke through. And I said, no punishment, no retribution. Are you upset with me? He said, yeah. Whew, that was hard. It wasn't hard that my wife was right. It was hard that that was the fact. So I literally had to just go on that campaign and apologize and apologize and apologize and really mean it. You know, when we apologize to our kids, they could tell if we're just, you know, faking the funk or not. They can tell if we're genuine. They know that, you know, that we're Christians and that we're trying to do it Jesus' way, God's way. But they also know when we're doing it from the overflow of the heart or when we're just trying to follow a command. So I had to have a pause. And we had to pray together as a family for a moment. Because honestly, I didn't know what to do. I had never done that before. Well, he had never done that before. So I'm like, okay, this is brand new ground. All right, let's go. Let's do this. Because why? If you don't speak out of love, you sound like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. Parents, do you ever feel your kids can't hear you? Yeah, right? Check your love level. Are you communicating with love? Sometimes I just sit back and watch my wife be her. And it's awesome. It's a great study. Because she teaches me a lot. And, you know, my son will do something crazy and I look at my wife. Say, okay, what's she going to do? And then I'm going to imitate that. Because I know what I want to do. And most of the time it's talking loud or being very direct. Because it takes love to be patient. It takes love and thoughts to treat them in the way that they need to be treated, not the way you want to. I could be in the middle of doing something, my son does something, it's much easier for me to be like, what? And get back to what I'm doing. Than for me to say, you know what? Let's put down whatever I'm doing and say, hey, son, what's going on? Let's talk about it. And I've had that conversation with him. Hey, there are going to be some times when I'm going to correct you. But it's not okay for me to do it in anger or harshly. Because I want him to grow up with a standard understanding what the right way is. And unfortunately with me, at times he's seen the wrong way. But I repent, amen? Amen? We need to repent. We need to be people that are quick to repent. When people tell you about it in your character. See, that's why we need to have people in our homes. And we don't need to have church faces when they're in our homes. We need to be ourselves so that when we could be ourselves, brother A or sister B could say, hey, come here. What you just said to your kid was rude. Now, how would you take that if you were told that? Would you crick your neck and get mad and get ready to fight? Would you say, you know, there ain't no dessert, it's time for you to go? Or are you going to be humble and say, brother, sister, thank you so much for helping me. And after you have your dessert, maybe I'll give you two because you love me so much. Me and my family, we're going to get together and we're going to talk about this. And I'm going to tell my children that brother A or sister B said that they saw this. How do you feel about it? Oh my gosh, that's a question that if you allow your children to answer, whoo, you better get ready. How do you feel about this? How do you feel about the way I just spoke to you? We were watching something on TV in passing, and they were talking about doubling the, The police, no, let's not go there. minimum wage. That's what it was. It was going from $7.50 to $15. And it was pretty close. And I'm sitting there like, man, if they want more money, they need to get a better education. They need to work hard. And my son said, Dad, that's rude. Woo. The only thing I saw was red. The only thing I saw was like, what? How dare you talk to me like that? And I said, okay, you got to speak nice. That's what I thought. But what came out was like, excuse me? What you say? Well, let me let you know why they need to do whatever. And he was just like, ah! I forget that I'm this big. I forget that I got this mouth. Richard has told me that several times. Bro, you're a big, intimidating kind of guy. I'm like, no, I'm not. He's like, to a little 12-year-old, you certainly are. So I have to remember, I need to shrink down in posture, in tone, when I speak to my children. Honestly, when I speak to anybody. Because I need to help people to hear the message and not be distracted by the harshness in which it's delivered. He says, if we don't speak out of love, we're only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Starting in verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. When you read this and you think about your relationship with your children, do you have a clear conscience before God? That's pretty challenging. Love is patient. Is that your go-to? My daughter's she loves asking questions. Question, question, question. She'll rattle off five in like 30 seconds. And I'm like, good Lord, I appreciate you thinking I'm like God, but I ain't him. You know what I mean? Google that thing. That's what I do. I don't know. Shoot, I ain't that smart. But my wife is amazing at that. My daughter, I've said it when my daughter was younger, she'd be like, bah, bah, bah. I'm like, okay, baby, one more question. That's about it. you're wearing daddy out. You know what I'm saying? You know what my wife said? Baby, you can ask me whatever you want. Ask me as much as you want. And I'm sitting there, Dad, she beat me again. She beat me again, but this ain't no contest. I, as the leader of my house, I need to be the first servant. I need to be the most humble. I need to be the most patient, the most kind. You know, my wife talked about kindness. And, you know, when Richard asked the church to write down, okay, you know, things to pray for, one of her requests was that I would be a more kind person to the kids. She wasn't even going to share that with me. I was gathering the cards, and when I took hers, I looked. I'm confessing. I didn't look at any of y'all's, but I look at hers. Because she's mine, you know, she's me. It's like looking at me. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? So I looked, and I read down, and it was like, okay, I get that one, I get that one, I get that one, and all the way at the bottom, that John is patient and kind. And I said, oh, Father God. And I just went on this, I just been after this thing. That was several weeks ago, maybe a month ago, whatever it was. And that's what I've been studying up. Begging God to help me to be a meek parent. A meek father. It's easy to be strong. For me, it is anyway. For some of you, you struggle with that. And for you, maybe you need to get it more emboldened. Maybe your children need that. Maybe your children need you to give them that stern hand. But they still don't have to be harsh, amen? We all, man, if God could just take us, blend us up, and make us just one good person, that would be fantastic. But see, that's why he gave me my wife. Because between the both of us, we make a great parent. But I need her to do that. It says, it's patient, it's kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others. We need to protect our relationship with our kids. Do we honor our children? Is that the feeling in the home where everyone feels uplifted? I said that to my one of my kids the other day. They said something. I said, baby, I did not feel honored by that statement. I didn't feel like you respected me when you said that. Before, it would have been World War, 15. I would have just jumped on him and be like, how dare you? But I said, you know what? Can I say something to you? I didn't feel good about that. You know why I responded that way? Because we had just had a family devotional on the same topic. The person, my kid got it very quickly, very humble, apologized, and repented. You know what? Those moments solidify our relationships. You know, as parents, when we apologize to our kids, they love it. Now, they don't love it just because, I got them to apologize to me. Man, that would be very critical thinking if we thought that, right? They love it because they see us being humble towards them. They see us in a relationship. You know what? What is the end goal of this whole thing? The end goal is I want my kids to love God. I want them to have a relationship with Him. If they only feel that God is this angry guy sitting on the throne ready to smite them anytime they mess up, then I've lost the battle. But guess what? If I'm that angry man sitting on my throne at home, ready to smite them the minute that they mess up, what image of God am I giving? You know, I share all this from the perspective of a father. And I know some moms out there, you might struggle with the same thing. The roles might be reversed in your home where the moms are just hot and the father's just kind of more chill and laid back. Guys, we need each other and we need to be on the same page, amen? Amen. We need to be on the same page and make sure that we're doing this for our kids. Guys, we need to protect the relationship with our children. They are precious. God has blessed us with children and He didn't have to. There are many people that have not been blessed with children that would trade seats with us in a second. We need to honor God by the way we treat our children and love them all that we can. Amen? Well, let's have a prayer, and then you guys could go get your children. Amen? Heavenly Father, You are an incredible God, and we love You very much. We thank You that You allow us to be parents. Father, I know that this room is not just full of parents. Father, I thank You so much for the singles, for the campus, for the teens, and for anyone else that's in here, God. Father, You do not allow anything to happen without a reason. They're here for a reason. I pray, Father, that they're learning, and if they're not in that stage of life yet, that they're storing this information away for the future, that they're allowing their hearts to be trained so that one day when they're parents, they can do great things with these teachings. Father, for us who are parents and they're in the battle right now, be with us, God. Help us to be humble and patient and kind and meek. Help us to realize that meekness is not weakness, God. That being meek is just being like Jesus, having strength, but be, making sure you're using it appropriately. We thank You so much for this day and bringing us here. I pray for the rest of the service. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.